go ahead and again, let's bow ourselves in word of prayer. Let's ask God to, as I pray out loud, you guys pray silently, to have God gather our thoughts, and that we're able to put our mind upon God's word and we stay focused upon his word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege that we're able to call upon you. Lord, tonight, again, we ask that you would continue to bring healing to Justin's family. Lord, what a hard time they're going to be going through, and I can't even imagine. I know, Lord, we've all gone through losses in our life, but Lord, everybody goes through it in a different way, and we can't even begin to comprehend the pain that they are feeling. So, Lord, I just pray that you just bring comfort the way that you know how. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, challenge us from your word, and how are we to really pray to you. Lord, again, I pray that you would work and be with our young people as they're across the way, and some are downstairs and they've gathered here tonight. I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here, even up here and downstairs and across the way, if they have yet to call upon you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring the conviction to their heart tonight. And we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 6, we're going to read down to verse number 15, and we're going to go back over and try to explain this the best that I know how. Verse number 6, it says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Now remember, we've got to understand here, this is Jesus talking about how we are to pray. Not just to him, but it's talking about how we are to pray to the Father. And so we go on here, verse number 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." I learned something different about this tonight, and I'm excited to share this with you folks. Verse number 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm going to stop right there, and then we're going to go back and visit these verses one by one, hopefully, and see what God has for us here tonight. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but every time I get in God's word, I get excited. God, what do you have for me? And you know, there have been many opportunities in my life where I've had the privilege to be in prayer for folks. And there's times where I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to say things from, a lot, to be honest with you. But we do have that great privilege as believers to go before our God in prayer. And I tell you what, that is a thrill. Last night, I got a phone call. Well, actually, I got a phone call yesterday late afternoon to come up to the hospital up here in town to pray with an individual before she passes. I tell you what, that is a great privilege to be able to be called upon, to be able to be used. But I was in a situation last night where I really didn't know what to say. I didn't really know how to say. I didn't really know how to bring comfort. But all I had to do was call upon my Lord, and he took it from there. And that's the important thing. And, you know, it's not about what we say, and it's not about what we do in our prayer. It's really about being obedient and going to God in prayer and allowing him to work through that. And so I had a good time last night just visiting and doing some things last night I don't normally do, but it was a great occasion for me. Tonight's message tonight is titled Respect and Honor. The 4 points that I'm going to be dealing with tonight, I know I got four, and I let you out early on Sunday because I knew I was going to keep you long tonight, and all God's people said amen. The first point, I'm going to hear some sighs. The first point that I'm going to, I have good hearing, folks. How should we pray? The second point we're going to deal with tonight is how to address God. The third one that we'll deal with tonight is praying for his will. And then finally, the fourth one is praying for daily needs. And all this here is in God's word. But it's interesting, it says here that when we are to pray, we are to enter into our closet. And we rehearsed this a few months ago, going into a closet where it's just you and God. You and God, I and God, we need our alone time, do we not? we need to remove ourselves from everyday life situations that's going about us, and we have to, because there's a lot of distractions that plague us, do they not? And so our minds are not fully given to God. Our minds are being occupied with other things. And so it's important for us to enter into that closet so we can have that intimate one-on-one time with God. And when we do so, when we go in there, it's not something that we blab about and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm going to the closet. I'm going there to pray, you know, pat me on the back, pat me on the head, give me an attaboy." No, we don't do it for those reasons, because what happens when we're doing it for those reasons? We're bringing glorification to ourselves. Let's say, "Hey, look what I'm doing." Again, it's not about what you're doing. It's about what God's going to do. And so we have to remove ourselves from all the distractions. I remember years ago, I heard a story about our pastor, and I believe it was his pastor at the time in Seattle, Washington, when at Open Door Baptist Church there, he would enter into the bathroom for his quiet time. And am I right on that, Mom? And it's amazing that you can go to the restroom for quiet time, but that's where he would go. That was his escape. I believe the reason for that was because, you know, when that door's closed, people don't enter. And so he would enter there for his quiet time so that he can seek the Lord in prayer. And I would encourage you, if you don't take time out on a daily basis to have your quiet time, to have your closet time with God, I would encourage you to do so. It would be so beneficial to you. And it would help you out throughout your daily walk with him. It would make your day so much better. Am I saying just because you pray, your day's going to go great? As long as you don't pray for patience, right? You know what happens. You pray for patience, things begin to happen. But it will change your life. It'll help your relationship to be better. This is no different than a husband and wife. When they're together, husbands and wives, they need to have alone time away from their kids. And that needs to happen. Why? Because that strengthens their relationships, and it shows them the importance that they have towards each other. And so I would encourage you to step out and step into that closet, and don't blab it, don't broadcast it, but do it so secretly. Well, how are we to pray? Well, I just said we are to pray in secret, just you and the Lord, verse number 6. But thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father. So when you go into that closet and that door is shut, guess who's there? It's just you and the Father. And that's where you and I need to be in our lives. Just to have a moment, if you would, of just complete, how do I say this? Maybe I'm not going to say it properly, but just to have that alone time. We should desire to have alone time with God. And we have alone time with the television, do we not? We have alone time with our toys that God has granted us in our life, but we forget about having that alone time with God. We forget about showing God how important he is in our life. And some people might sit there and say, "Well, how long do I need to be in this closet?" To me, I can't sit there and put a time on there. Your time's different than my time. But as long as you take some time out in your daily life to enter into a closet, to where you will enter there secretly and begin to seek to have a relationship with him. And it will do you so good. Verse number 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." We are not to pray using vain repetitions. And I used to sit there and think, if I would use the term over and over again, "Oh Lord, help us. Oh God, help me to do this. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed," you know, that to me I was considering vain repetitions. But here I'm beginning to understand this. It's not about that, because I will show you in Scripture a form of prayer that has taken place many times. But vain repetition is a form of babbling, or maybe uselessness, if I can say that word. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Daniel. I will show you this here in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. That is in the Old Testament. And if I can turn there fast, I would. But I'm getting there. Because if that was the case, if we weren't to use those terms over and over again when it comes to how do we normally play? We pray. We usually start off, "Dear Lord, thank you for this day." Is that not how normally we start off our conversation with God? Or we'll say, "Dear Jesus," things of that nature. You can go to our school. It's funny. I know I've used this illustration before. I've been trying to come in a couple times a week and pray with the kids for the lunch, and mainly just to see what they're doing and if they're getting along and not having any arguments. But one of the things that they constantly pray for is, God, thank you for this day. Bless us for our body. Help us to get into green, purple, orange, black, yellow, all these dots that they get throughout the day. And I'm trying to encourage them to pray for something else. And what I pray for today, kids, I said, God, show them that they have a reason to be happy, because they walked into the lunchroom today acting as if they just got out of prison. And they just had a bunch of doom and gloom looks on their face, and they probably think school's prison at times. But anyway, I'm trying to help them to kind of get out of that mode. I'm 42 years of age. I went to the school, and I prayed for the same thing. Bless this food, bless our day. Help me get a green dot, and help me not to hit the teacher. That wasn't my prayer. I'm just seeing if you guys are listening. But anyway, vain repetition is a form of babbling or maybe uselessness. Here in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse number 7, actually, it goes off. It says, O Lord. Again, verse number 8, it starts off, O Lord. Jump down to verse number 16. It will say, O Lord, once again. And 18 will say the same thing, but it changes from O Lord to O my God. And then verse number 19, it goes off and starts off with O Lord. And so that is a term that we normally start off our prayer. And if, to me, that is not a vain repetition. That is calling upon your Lord, right? That is calling upon him because you're coming to him at that point in time. So vain repetition here was used so the heathen could be heard. In Matthew chapter number 6, again, it says here, Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Let me back up. It says, But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. So the vain repetition here, the heathen would use it so they can be heard out in the streets. In a sense, if I can say this in a right way and it's not taken out of context here, they were praying useless prayers just to be heard by men. They didn't really care what was going up at this point in time. They weren't really putting any thought or any consideration into it. They were just praying a useless prayer so people can sit there, oh, that person, he's a righteous person. Oh, that person, he knows what he's doing. And so, but we look here in Scripture, verse number 8, it says, Be not ye therefore like unto them. Remember, this is Jesus talking. And so Jesus here, he's given us a warning sign. He's given us a deal in the Bible where it says, Hey, be cautious about this, because I don't want you to be like this. And so verse 8, he is telling us not to be like them. Why would we want to be like the heathen? Well, we need to be set apart, do we not? We are children of God. We are his. And so as I've been saying for the past year, because we're his, we ought to be set apart. How are we to be set apart? In our speech, right? Our speech should tell the world that we are not a part of this world. And I use the illustration Sunday night. We as believers, a lot of times, if I can say it like that, need to filter our speech. And that's what needs to be done. So Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to pray like these folks, because they're out here, they're in the streets, they're using vain repetitions, and they're doing so that they can be heard of men. But Jesus here, the reason why he's telling us not to be like them in verse number 8 is because he wants you and he wants me to come to him with an open heart and opening up to him and not to man. See, we find ourselves in situations, do we not, where we open up to other individuals. We allow ourselves to tell other individuals our deepest and darkest secrets. Some things that other people might not know about you, you're willing to confide that into another friend. Why do we do those things? Think about it. If we confide our thoughts and our ideas in other people, what's normally going to happen? People talk, do they not? And so, therefore, because of that, they might turn to somebody else and begin to talk about your situation. One of the things that I take comfort in, knowing when I go to my father in the closet, in secret, I can tell him my deepest and darkest inner secrets. And by the way, he already knows them. And I can tell him, and I can leave that closet knowing that it stays between him and I. And he wants us to open up to him. If we're to go out and we're to open up to these heathen that are on the streets using vain repetitions, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to use that as ammo somewhere down the road. And it happens. And people like to use your words against you. And sometimes they'll twist your words around. And they will say things that are the total opposite. And we can clarify this as fake news now. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But he wants us to go to him, to open our heart to him, to tell him our things that we're not willing to tell anybody else, because that's where he wants us to be. So how should we pray? The second thing that I want to address tonight is how to address God. I just kind of gave a brief illustration going through the book of Daniel. How are we to address God? Do you realize tonight that we are privileged to call upon our Father tonight? Look what it says here. Let me finish this verse here in 8. It says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Now, verse number 9, it goes on and begins to explain on how we are to pray and how are we to address him. It says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." And so it starts off, how are we to enter into prayer? In the next two words, it says, "Our Father." Think about that for a second. Let that sink in, if you would, please, because I have the privilege tonight, since April 25th of 1986, to call upon God as my Father. Before that day, I was never privileged to call upon him as my Father. And so because of this, because I have accepted his salvation, because I have repented and put my faith and trust in him, now I'm able to address him as my Father. You know, one of the greatest things that I'm able to experience today in life is my daughter being able to address me as Dad. That is a great privilege that I have. It's great to walk in the door, or she's the walk in the door, and she says, "Hey, Dad, how'd your day go, Dad?" That is a privilege. How does that come about? That comes about because she is mine, and bought and paid for, right? We did pay those hospital bills, didn't we? Still paying for them. But anyway, we have that privilege tonight because we are his. And so we are to dress him as our Father. This is a privilege, as I'm trying to say, for the saved. This isn't a privilege for the unsaved. They don't have the privilege to call upon him as our Father. They're missing out on this great opportunity. Why? Because they're rejecting him. And so when you reject him, you don't have that privilege to call him as your Father. This here shows us, this is a sign of ownership, and I don't want you to sit there and think that, we own God. No, we don't own God. We're his. He owns us, amen? We're no longer of this world. We're aliens, as we read about or sung about here recently. We're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're passing through. And so this here is a sign of ownership. Ownership comes from being adopted into his family. If you would look up Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, it talks about adoption. And because we are adopted into the family, now we have the privilege to call upon him as our Father. So we go to prayer and we say, "Our Father." How often do we say that? Saying, "Hey, I claim you. You are mine. Because of you gave us your Son who died on the cross for our sins, and I have accepted that. Now you're mine. I'm claiming you as my own. And now I can come to you and say, my Father, I need you in some areas in my life, and I want you to intervene, and I want you to work on my behalf." And so ownership comes from the term being adopted. It gives you that right to claim him as your Father. You inherited that. And what a great picture that is. And so being a son and a daughter allows us to be able to call upon him as our Father. You know, nobody else in here tonight has the privilege, and you might say amen to this when I'm done, but no one else in here tonight has the privilege to call me Dad, but my daughter. Plain and simple. And I know I can see those tears that are swelling up in your eyes, and you're wanting to call me Dad and Father. I understand those things. You're like a dad to me. I get those things. But she's the only one that has that right. Why? Because she's mine. And she's a part of my family. Yeah, you're part of my family spiritually because of Jesus Christ, but you know what I'm talking about here. She has that right. I won't answer to anybody else if they call me Dad. I won't answer anybody else if they call me Father, but I will answer to her because she is mine. And so that comes from a sign of ownership. And so we have that privilege to be able to call upon him as our Father. And so we go on, and it reads here, it says, our Father, which art in heaven. Do you guys ever wonder where our Father's at? Well, now we can say, because of this, we know where our Father lives, and our Father reigns in heaven. And that's great to know, because this is our future home. Amen? And so because now he's our Father, and now we have the privilege to address him, now, hey, okay, where's my Father live? Well, now it says here in verse number 9 where his residency is at. He's not here, he's in heaven. And so because of that, our future with him, our future home is in heaven. That's our place of residency. See, we're taking up residency right here now, but this place that where we're at, what do we know about it? It's going to burn. It's going to go by the wayside. But our future home, by the way, is in heaven. And we can have that now because of eternal life. And the minute that we pass from here and the minute that Christ comes back for us, that's where we're going to abide forever. And so our Father, he reigns in heaven. He's our Father. His place of residency is in heaven. So when addressing him, how are we to address him? It says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you know that we are to address our Father with respect? If my daughter walked in my house tonight after we get out of services, and she might try this just to be funny because I know her, but if she was to walk into my house and I say, hey, Chad, what's going on? Does that show respect towards me, knowing that I'm her father? Or even yet, what if she walked in and says, hey, Chadwick, how'd your day go? I said Chadwick because my mom hates that. Well, what if she walked in and gave me another nickname? Hey, Chadley, what's happening there? She's not showing respect. She can call me, hey, Chappie. Chappie's my nickname at work. They call me Chappie for chaplain. It's always been my nickname for work. So if people call me Chappie, that's funny. I like that. But when addressing him, we are to show respect. It says, hallowed be thy name. And showing respect is doing what? It's bringing honor to him. The term used is hallowed, meaning respect, honor, dignity, and with love. We are not to refer to God as the man upstairs. You know, that's degrading to God. You know, how often have we been out in the public and we've heard people say, yeah, the man upstairs, he's taking care of me. And I'm like, look, wow, there's a man upstairs? Where's the steps? I want to go see this man. And we degrade God when we call him the man upstairs. We degrade God when we take his name in vain. That's not bringing honor, and that's not bringing glory to him. And that's not showing respect to him. And so when we address him, show respect to him. After all, does he not deserve it? Do we not feel obligated to show him respect and show him honor and to show him love when we are addressing him? That's where we should be in our lives. Again, that's a great privilege to call upon him as our Father. Just like it's a great privilege, and she might not think this, but she will in 20 more years, what a privilege it is to have me as a dad. And it's a neat opportunity that we have. Again, not everybody has this opportunity. Not everybody is going to experience this because of their rejection of our Father. You know, we ought to be offended that they're rejecting our Father. That ought to hurt us that they're rejecting our Father. And how do we go through life accepting that rejection? You wonder why people reject Christ. I believe it's because we're not making him famous like we should. You know, how do people know about our pastor right now? I'm going to say my dad because that's how I've been referring to him. How do people know about the health condition of my dad? Because I'm talking about it all the time. And so because I'm talking about him all the time and the condition that he's in, you guys know what's going on. How are people going to know about our Father, our Heavenly Father, if we don't talk about him? So it's our job, in a sense, to... I hate to use this term, but it's the only term that's sticking to me, is to make him famous, to be talking about your Father. Be braggadocious about him. Why? Because he deserves it. And he's your advocate. He goes to the Father on our behalf because of our prayer requests. And so we are to address him in those ways. So how are we to pray? Praying for his will. Once we address him with honor, we then should be asking for his kingdom. Verse number 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven." This isn't our permanent home, folks. I said it a few minutes ago, but this is not our permanent home. We act and we live our lives as if we're going to live here permanently. We don't understand at times what it means that we're going to be out of here in a twinkling of an eye. We don't grasp that idea, and so in our minds, we know this world. We know what we're doing here, so we think this is our permanent residency, and it's not. This is just temporary. We're just passing through. And so we shouldn't be laying our treasures here, but laying them here, laying them in heaven. Jesus here tells us to pray for his kingdom come. Why? Because it's our place of refuge. Do you realize that we don't get our place of refuge here? You think about it. We're vulnerable, are we not? We're vulnerable to the attacks that might come upon us in this world. But when we pray for his kingdom to come, and the reasons why we should, because it's our place of refuge. It's our shelter from the storms, a place where we can worship and praise him to be in his presence. It's a place of security. It's a place of peaceful rest. Think about this. The Bible here, Jesus is telling us, it says, pray after this manner. And as he's praying, he says, pray for thy kingdom to come. Have you ever thought about why the kingdom of God has not come yet? Ever thought about why we are still here? Maybe it's because we're not going back to this model prayer that Jesus has taught us here and praying for his kingdom to come. You think about that? Think about if we were to seriously get down on our hands and knees. I'm talking every single believer, the ones that truly believe in God, and begin to pray for his kingdom. And saying, God, in words like this, I'm sick and tired of this place. I'm not happy no more. Please come. Oh, Lord, please come. Take us home. And maybe God's return hasn't happened because we aren't praying for his kingdom to come. And so this is a model prayer for us to understand and get into our minds here. And so begin to praying for his kingdom to come. We need to pray for his will to be done. So after this, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. So then we move on, and we need to pray for his will to be done. Well, how do we do that? By not praying for our will. Stop being selfish about what we want. One of the most difficult things as we go through life is praying for somebody who's on their deathbed. And we got to understand something, that as believers, we become selfish in our prayers. And we pray that God would raise and lift this individual up. But God wants us to come to a place of serenity, if I can say that word. A place to where we can come and say, God, I truly want your will to be done. I'm willing to accept whatever you're going to throw my direction. Because I want your will to be done. Because when your will is done, that means it's right, it's perfect. And my will is praying for my own selfish needs, my own selfish desires. I tell you what, when we begin to pray for his will to be done and not ours, that's going to be a life-changing thing for you as well. His will is being done in heaven at all the time. But here on earth, he works only when we give him permission. He works when we speak to him, say, I want you to work and I want you to intervene on my part. I want you to imagine saying this to God. God, you have permission to do your will in my life at all times, regardless. Everybody's gasping for air right now. You mean you want God to do his will regardless any time in my life? Well, why don't we pray for that? Why are we so scared? Should we be scared? When God's will is being done, is it not right? Is it not correct? And so those things should not hinder us from praying that way. It shouldn't scare us for praying that way. But we need to pray for his will to be done. We have prayed as a church, as a family for the past couple months, that God's will would be done in our pastor's life. And I believe that we were, as a family here, were willing to accept whatever God wanted. I believe full, if God was to take him home, and by the way, God can take him home regardless. But we want God's will to be done. And that's the important thing. And you know what happened? God's doing his will. He's not doing our will, folks. He's doing his will. And that's amazing to begin to think about that. But give God to do the work that he needs to do in your life. Giving him permission on a daily basis to say, God, I want your will to be done today because I want you to be glorified in my life. I want people to see me through my life. And so I give you that permission, but we don't do those things because we're scared, we're intimidated. We're afraid of what God might do that day for us in our walk that day. We might sit there and think, oh, what if God brings an individual across my path and I got a witness to him? Oh, heavens to Betsy! Well, if that's God's will, then let his will to be done. And when his will's being done, we should be happy, more happier than a pig in slop. That's the serious matter of this. We need to pray for his will to be done at all times. And I know I'm not going to give through this the whole entire thing, and I'm going to finish this up here. But what are we to pray for towards the end? As we come to the end of this, we are to pray for our daily needs. Jesus is saying when praying in his will, he will answer our prayers and will provide. But here it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, that's what we're supposed to pray for daily. You know, we take a lot of things for granted. We think that we're just going to have food to eat just like that. You know, there are people that don't have that privilege to wake up every day and open up a fridge and to have food there. And so we are to pray for our daily needs. Going down to the simplest form is praying for our meals, praying that God will provide the meal that we need to have in our body that day so that we can have the nutrition to go forward and to do the work. So we are to pray daily for these needs. Also, it goes on, it says here, and we are to pray, verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are also be to forgiving to others, not holding any grudges. When someone does us wrong, we need to be forgiving. But what do we do most of the time? Someone does us wrong, and the thing that usually comes out of our mouth is, well, I want to crucify them. Well, if I had it my way, I'd punch him right in the face. Well, what's that doing? That's showing your real self. That's showing you have some anger issues. That's showing that you're not willing to forgive. That's showing that you're willing to hold on to a grudge. You know what? We get offended, do we not? Every day. But we have to forgive. And we have to act as if when Jesus was offended every day, what did he do? He forgave. He didn't care what they did to him. He forgave them. And so we're to have that type of an attitude. Be forgiving. Don't hold a grudge. The last thing I want to talk about tonight, verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we're not going to be delivered into temptation, okay? We're not, well, what we need to pray for is to be delivered from temptation. You know my sin. I don't know your sin. I don't know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. You might struggle with watching too much Wheel of Fortune. I don't know. You might have an addiction to that those things, and you might be convicted about that. And I say that for a reason, because realistically, folks can sit there and watch a Wheel of Fortune 24/7, and what happens? That's taking them away from God's Bible. That was a free one. But we need to pray that God would deliver us from temptation so that we don't fall into that trap to where once that temptation is there, we give into it and we give life to that sin. And so we need to pray to be delivered from those things. These are simple daily things that we need to pray for. And I can give you some other things that's not here in Scripture. We need to pray to have a good attitude. Attitude adjustment. You know, last weekend where Jeff and I were working on my deck at the house, and he was kind of getting irritated. He does that sometimes. And I understand his frustrations because I get frustrated too. I'm his brother, and Chris, he can understand these things. Do we have some anger issues? I don't know what side we get that from, but we get it from somewhere. I don't know from who. When something doesn't go our way, we kind of get angry. And I was sensing his frustration, and I can't remember what I said, but he just said, I need an attitude adjustment. I was like, you know what? That's a good thing to pray for, because our attitude can come across in a bad way to people. And so we need to pray for a good attitude. This is funny. Tonight, you know, we put our steps together, and it's not funny, but it is funny. The FedEx guy came to my house, and I drove up, and I saw a package on the door, and I saw there's a sign on the door as well. But I looked at the steps, and they're broken. I was like, what in tarnation's going on here? And so I looked at the note. Note was very obvious. I broke your steps. And I was furious. So I called up FedEx. I told them I was fed up. I wasn't happy with them. But I said to them, I said, you know what? No one got hurt. That's the main thing. So I went out, and I'm kind of OCD in a lot of ways. Like, well, it hasn't been that long since he's been here. I know this town by the back of my hand. I'm going to go hunt him down. So I went and hunted the dude down. And I found the dude, and I said, hey, dude, were you at my house? He says, what house? So I told him my address. I'm not telling you my address in case you want to come by and egg it later. So I won't tell you that. But anyway, you folks know where I live. But he said, yeah, I was there. He goes, I'm so sorry about your steps. He goes, I didn't mean to. He goes, I said, did you get hurt? He goes, no. I go, that's all I care about. I go, I just want to make sure you didn't get hurt. You know, I could have came across in a very negative way. And I wanted to. I wanted to let this FedEx dude have it. But the Holy Spirit changed my course, changed my thought process. And I was able to have a better attitude towards him. See, that's something that we need to pray for as well, because our attitude shows us who we are at times. And so here are some daily things that we need to be praying for. So how are we to pray? We're to pray to God. How do we address him? We respect him and give him honor. Then we pray for his will to be done. And then we pray for our daily needs. And that doesn't mean you pray for it Monday and forget about it Tuesday and Wednesday and jump back on it on Thursday. God, Jesus here in chapter 6 says, pray for it daily. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the opportunity to call upon you as our Father, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us his Son so that we can have eternal life. We are so indebted to you, and we thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for your blessings that you bestow upon us daily that goes unnoticed by us. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we leave from here. Be with us throughout the rest of this week. Bring us back safely Sunday, and we ask it in your name. Amen. And am I right on that, Mom? And it's amazing that you can go to the restroom for quiet time, but that's where he would go. That was his escape. I believe the reason for that was because, you know, when that door's closed, people don't enter. And so he would enter there for his quiet time so that he can seek the Lord in prayer. And I would encourage you, if you don't take time out on a daily basis to have your quiet time, to have your closet time with God, I would encourage you to do so. It would be so beneficial to you, and it would help you out throughout your daily walk with him. It would make your day so much better. Am I saying just because you pray, your day is going to go great? As long as you don't pray for patience, right? You know what happens. You pray for patience, things begin to happen. But it will change your life. It'll help your relationship to be better. It's just no different than a husband and wife. When they're together, husbands and wives, they need to have alone time away from their kids. And that needs to happen. Why? Because that strengthens their relationships. And it shows them the importance that they have towards each other. And so I would encourage you to step out and step into that closet. And don't blab it, don't broadcast it, but do it so secretly. Well, how are we to pray? Well, I just said we are to pray in secret, just you and the Lord, verse number 6. But thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father. So when you go into that closet and that door is shut, guess who's there? It's just you and the Father. And that's where you and I need to be in our lives, just to have a moment, if you would, of just complete, how do I say this? Maybe I'm not going to say it properly, but just to have that alone time. We should desire to have alone time with God. And we have alone time with the television, do we not? We have alone time with our toys that God has granted us in our life, but we forget about having that alone time with God. We forget about showing God how important He is in our life. And some people might sit there and say, well, how long do I need to be in this closet? To me, I can't sit there and put a time on there. Your time's different than my time. But as long as you take some time out in your daily life to enter into a closet to where you will enter there secretly and begin to seek to have a relationship with Him, and it will do you so good. Verse number 7, it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We are not to pray using vain repetitions. And I used to sit there and think if I would use the term over and over again, oh Lord, help us. Oh God, help me to do this. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, you know, that to me I was considering vain repetitions. But here I'm beginning to understand this. It's not about that, because I will show you in Scripture a form of prayer that has taken place many times. But vain repetition is a form of babbling, or maybe uselessness, if I can say that word. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Daniel. I will show you this here in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. That is in the Old Testament. And if I can turn there fast, I would. But I'm getting there. Because if that was the case, if we weren't to use those terms over and over again when it comes to how do we normally pray, we usually start off, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Is that not how normally we start off our conversation with God? Or we'll say, dear Jesus, things of that nature. You can go to our school. It's funny. I know I've used this illustration before. I've been trying to come in a couple times a week and pray with the kids for the lunch, and mainly just to see what they're doing and if they're getting along and not having any arguments. But one of the things that they constantly pray for is, God, thank you for this day. Bless this food, our body. Help us to get into green, purple, orange, black, yellow, all these dots that they get throughout the day. And I'm trying to encourage them to pray for something else. And what I pray for today, kids, I said, God, show them that they have a reason to be happy, because they walked into the lunchroom today acting as if they just got out of prison. And they just had a bunch of doom and gloom looks on their face, and they probably think school's prison at times. But anyway, I'm trying to help them to kind of get out of that mode. I'm 42 years of age. I went to the school, and I prayed for the same thing. Bless this food, bless our day. Help me get a green dot, and help me not to hit the teacher. That wasn't my prayer. I'm just seeing if you guys are listening. But anyway, vain repetition is a form of babbling, or maybe uselessness. Here in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse number 7, actually, it goes off. It says, O Lord, again, verse number 8, it starts off, O Lord. Jump down to verse number 16. It will say, O Lord, once again. And 18 will say the same thing, but it changes from O Lord to O my God. And then verse number 19, it goes off and starts off with O Lord. And so that is a term that we normally start off our prayer. And if, to me, that is not a vain repetition. That is calling upon your Lord, right? That is calling upon Him, because you're coming to Him at that point in time. So vain repetition here was used so the heathen could be heard. In Matthew chapter number 6, again, it says here, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Let me back up. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. So the vain repetition here, the heathen would use it so they can be heard out in the streets. In a sense, if I can say this in a right way and it's not taken out of context here, they were praying useless prayers just to be heard by men. They didn't really care what was going up at this point in time. They weren't really putting any thought or any consideration into it. They were just praying useless prayers so people can sit there, oh, that person, he's a righteous person. Oh, that person, he knows what he's doing. And so, but we look here in Scripture, verse number 8, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them. Remember, this is Jesus talking. And so Jesus here, he's given us a warning sign. He's given us a deal in the Bible where it says, hey, be cautious about this, because I don't want you to be like this. And so verse 8, he is telling us not to be like them. Why would we want to be like the heathen? Well, we need to be set apart, do we not? We are children of God. We are His. And so, as I've been saying for the past year, because we're His, we ought to be set apart. How are we to be set apart? In our speech, right? Our speech should tell the world that we are not a part of this world. And I used the illustration Sunday night. We as believers, a lot of times, if I can say it like that, need to filter our speech. And that's what needs to be done. So Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to pray like these folks, because they're out there, they're in the streets, they're using vain repetitions, and they're doing so that they can be heard of men. But Jesus here, the reason why he's telling us not to be like them in verse number 8 is because he wants you and he wants me to come to him with an open heart and opening up to him and not to man. See, we find ourselves in situations, do we not, where we open up to other individuals. We allow ourselves to tell other individuals our deepest and darkest secrets. Some things that other people might not know about you, you're willing to confide that into another friend. Why do we do those things? Think about it. If we confide our thoughts and our ideas in other people, what's normally going to happen? People talk, do they not? And so, therefore, because of that, they might turn to somebody else and begin to talk about your situation. One of the things that I take comfort in, knowing when I go to my father in the closet, in secret, I can tell him my deepest and darkest inner secrets. And by the way, he already knows them. And I can tell him, and I can leave that closet knowing that it stays between him and I. And he wants us to open up to him. If we're to go out and we're to open up to these heathen that are on the streets using vain repetitions, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to use that as ammo somewhere down the road. And it happens. And people like to use your words against you. And sometimes they'll twist your words around. And they will say things that are the total opposite. And we can clarify this as fake news now. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But he wants us to go to him, to open our heart to him, to tell him our things that we're not willing to tell anybody else, because that's where he wants us to be. So how should we pray? The second thing that I want to address tonight is how to address God. I just kind of gave a brief illustration going through the book of Daniel. How are we to address God? Do you realize tonight that we are privileged to call upon our Father tonight? Look what it says here. Let me finish this verse here in 8. It says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, verse number 9, it goes on and begins to explain on how we are to pray and how are we to address him. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And so it starts off, how are we to enter into prayer? In the next two words, it says, our Father. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in, if you would, please, because I have the privilege tonight, since April 25th of 1986, to call upon God as my Father. Before that day, I was never privileged to call upon him as my Father. And so because of this, because I have accepted his salvation, because I have repented and put my faith and trust in him, now I'm able to address him as my Father. You know, one of the greatest things that I'm able to experience today in life is my daughter being able to address me as dad. That is a great privilege that I have. It's great to walk in the door, or she's the walk in the door, and she says, hey, dad, how'd your day go, dad? That is a privilege. How does that come about? That comes about because she is mine and bought and paid for, right? We did pay those hospital bills, didn't we? Still paying for them. But anyway, we have that privilege tonight because we are his. And so we are to address him as our Father. This is a privilege, as I'm trying to say, for the saved. This isn't a privilege for the unsaved. They don't have the privilege to call upon him as our Father. They're missing out on this great opportunity. Why? Because they're rejecting him. And so when you reject him, you don't have that privilege to call him as your Father. This here shows us, this is a sign of ownership. And I don't want you to sit there and think that, we own God. No, we don't own God. We're his. He owns us, amen? We're no longer of this world. we're aliens, as we read about or sung about here recently. We're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're passing through. And so this here is a sign of ownership. Ownership comes from being adopted into his family. If you would look up Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, it talks about adoption. And because we are adopted into the family, now we have the privilege to call upon him as our Father. So we go to prayer and we say, "Our Father." How often do we say that? Saying, "Hey, I claim you. You are mine. Because of you gave us your Son who died on the cross for our sins, and I have accepted that. Now you're mine. I'm claiming you as my own. And now I can come to you and say, 'My Father, I need you in some areas in my life, and I want you to intervene, and I want you to work on my behalf.'" And so ownership comes from the term being adopted. It gives you that right to claim him as your Father. You inherited that. And what a great picture that is. And so being a son and a daughter allows us to be able to call upon him as our Father. You know, nobody else in here tonight has the privilege, and you might say amen to this when I'm done, but no one else in here tonight has the privilege to call me dad, but my daughter. Plain and simple. And I know I can see those tears that are swollen up in your eyes, and you're wanting to call me dad and father. I understand those things. You're like a dad to me. I get those things. But she's the only one that has that right. Why? Because she's mine. And she's a part of my family. Yeah, you're part of my family spiritually because of Jesus Christ, but you know what I'm talking about here. She has that right. I won't answer to anybody else if they call me dad. I won't answer to anybody else if they call me father. But I will answer to her because she is mine. And so that comes from a sign of ownership. And so we have that privilege to be able to call upon him as our Father. And so we go on, and it reads here, it says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Do you guys ever wonder where our Father's at? Well, now we can say, because of this, we know where our Father lives. And our Father reigns in heaven. And that's great to know because this is our future home. Amen? And so because now he's our Father, and now we have the privilege to address him, now, hey, okay, where does my Father live? Well, now it says here in verse number 9 where his residency is at. He's not here. He's in heaven. And so because of that, our future with him, our future home is in heaven. That's our place of residency. See, we're taking up residency right here now, but this place that where we're at, what do we know about it? It's going to burn. It's going to go by the wayside. But our future home, by the way, is in heaven. And we can have that now because of eternal life. And the minute that we pass from here and the minute that Christ comes back for us, that's where we're going to abide forever. And so our Father, he reigns in heaven. He's our Father. His place of residency is in heaven. So when addressing him, how are we to address him? It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you know that we are to address our Father with respect? If my daughter walked in my house tonight after we get out of services, and she might try this just to be funny because I know her, but if she was to walk into my house and I say, "Hey, Chad, what's going on?" Does that show respect towards me, knowing that I'm her father? Or even yet, what if she walked in and says, "Hey, Chadwick, how'd your day go?" I said Chadwick because my mom hates that. Well, what if she walked in and gave me another nickname? "Hey, Chadley, what's happening there?" She's not showing respect. She can call me, "Hey, Chappie." Chappie's my nickname at work. They call me Chappie for chaplain. That's always been my nickname for work. So if people call me Chappie, that's funny. I like that. But when addressing him, we are to show respect. It says, "Hallowed be thy name." And showing respect is doing what? It's bringing honor to him. The term used is hallowed, meaning respect, honor, dignity, and with love. We are not to refer to God as the man upstairs. You know, that's degrading to God. You know, how often have we been out in the public and we've heard people say, "Yeah, the man upstairs, he's taking care of me." And I'm like, "Look, wow, there's a man upstairs? Where's the steps? I want to go see this man." And we degrade God when we call him the man upstairs. We degrade God when we take his name in vain. That's not bringing honor, and that's not bringing glory to him, and that's not showing respect to him. And so when we address him, show respect to him. After all, does he not deserve it? Do we not feel obligated to show him respect and show him honor and to show him love when we are addressing him? That's where we should be in our lives. Again, that's a great privilege to call upon him as our Father. Just like it's a great privilege, and she might not think this, but she will in 20 more years. What a privilege it is to have me as a dad. And it's a neat opportunity that we have. Again, not everybody has this opportunity. Not everybody is going to experience this because of their rejection of our Father. You know, we ought to be offended that they're rejecting our Father. That ought to hurt us, that they're rejecting our Father. And how do we go through life accepting that rejection? You wonder why people reject Christ. I believe it's because we're not making him famous like we should. You know, how do people know about our pastor right now? I'm going to say my dad because that's how I've been referring to him. How do people know about the health condition of my dad? Because I'm talking about it all the time. And so because I'm talking about him all the time and the condition that he's in, you guys know what's going on. How are people going to know about our Father, our Heavenly Father, if we don't talk about him? So it's our job, in a sense, to, I hate to use this term, but it's the only term that's sticking to me, is to make him famous, to be talking about your Father. Be braggadocious about him. Why? Because he deserves it. And he's your advocate. He goes to the Father on our behalf because of our prayer requests. And so we are to address him in those ways. So how are we to pray? Praying for his will. Once we address him with honor, we then should be asking for his kingdom. Verse number 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven." This isn't our permanent home, folks. I said it a few minutes ago, but this is not our permanent home. We act and we live our lives as if we're going to live here permanently. We don't understand at times what it means that we're going to be out of here in a twinkling of an eye. We don't grasp that idea, but and so our minds know, we know this world. We know what we're doing here, so we think this is our permanent residency, and it's not. This is just temporary. We're just passing through. And so we shouldn't be laying our treasures here, but laying them here, laying them in heaven. Jesus here tells us to pray for his kingdom come. Why? Because it's our place of refuge. Do you realize that we don't get our place of refuge here? You think about it. We're vulnerable, are we not? We're vulnerable to the attacks that might come upon us in this world. But when we pray for his kingdom to come, and the reasons why we should, because it's our place of refuge. It's our shelter from the storms, a place where we can worship and praise him to be in his presence. It's a place of security. It's a place of peaceful rest. Think about this. The Bible here, Jesus is telling us, it says, pray after this manner. And as he's praying, he says, pray for thy kingdom to come. Have you ever thought about why the kingdom of God has not come yet? Ever thought about why we are still here? Maybe it's because we're not going back to this model prayer that Jesus has taught us here and praying for his kingdom to come. You think about that? Think about if we were to seriously get down on our hands and knees. I'm talking every single believer, the ones that truly believe in God, and begin to pray for his kingdom. And saying, God, in words like this, I'm sick and tired of this place. I'm not happy no more. Please come. Oh, Lord, please come. Take us home. And maybe God's return hasn't happened because we aren't praying for his kingdom to come. And so this is a model prayer for us to understand and get into our minds here. And so begin to praying for his kingdom to come. We need to pray for his will to be done. So after this, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. So then we move on, and we need to pray for his will to be done. Well, how do we do that? By not praying for our will. Stop being selfish about what we want. One of the most difficult things as we go through life is praying for somebody who's on their deathbed. And we got to understand something, that as believers, we become selfish in our prayers. And we pray that God would raise and lift this individual up. But God wants us to come to a place of serenity, if I can say that word. A place to where we can come and say, God, I truly want your will to be done. I'm willing to accept whatever you're going to throw my direction. Because I want your will to be done. Because when your will is done, that means it's right, it's perfect. And my will is praying for my own selfish needs, my own selfish desires. I tell you what, when we begin to pray for his will to be done and not ours, that's going to be a life-changing thing for you as well. His will is being done in heaven at all the time. But here on earth, he works only when we give him permission. He works when we speak to him, say, I want you to work and I want you to intervene on my part. I want you to imagine saying this to God. God, you have permission to do your will in my life at all times, regardless. Everybody's gasping for air right now. You mean I want you want God to do his will regardless any time in my life? Well, why don't we pray for that? Why are we so scared? Should we be scared? When God's will is being done, is it not right? Is it not correct? And so those things should not hinder us from praying that way. It shouldn't scare us for praying that way. But we need to pray for his will to be done. We have prayed as a church, as a family for the past couple months, that God's will would be done in our pastor's life. And I believe that we were, as a family here, were willing to accept whatever God wanted. I believe if God was to take him home, and by the way, God can take him home regardless. But we want God's will to be done. And that's the important thing. And you know what happened? God's doing his will. He's not doing our will, folks. He's doing his will. And that's amazing to begin to think about that. But give God to do the work that he needs to do in your life. Giving him permission on a daily basis to say, God, I want your will to be done today because I want you to be glorified in my life. I want people to see me through my life. And so I give you that permission, but we don't do those things because we're scared, we're intimidated. We're afraid of what God might do that day for us in our walk that day. We might sit there and think, oh, what if God brings an individual across my path and I got a witness to him? Oh, heavens to Betsy. Well, if that's God's will, then let his will be done. And when his will is being done, we should be happy, more happier than a pig in slop. That's the serious matter of this. We need to pray for his will to be done at all times. And I know I'm not going to give through this the whole entire thing, and I'm going to finish this up here. But what are we to pray for towards the end? As we come to the end of this, we are to pray for our daily needs. Jesus is saying when praying in his will, he will answer our prayers and will provide. But here it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, that's what we're supposed to pray for daily. You know, we take a lot of things for granted. We think that we're just going to have food to eat just like that. You know, there are people that don't have that privilege to wake up every day and open up a fridge and to have food there. And so we are to pray for our daily needs. Going down to the simplest form is praying for our meals, praying that God will provide the meal that we need to have in our body that day so that we can have the nutrition to go forward and to do the work. So we are to pray daily for these needs. Also, it goes on, it says here, and we are to pray, verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are also be to forgiving to others, not holding any grudges. When someone does us wrong, we need to be forgiving. But what do we do most of the time? Someone does us wrong, and the thing that usually comes out of our mouth is, well, I want to crucify them. Well, if I had it my way, I'd punch him right in the face. Well, what's that doing? That's showing your real self. That's showing you have some anger issues. That's showing that you're not willing to forgive. That's showing that you're willing to hold on to a grudge. You know what? We get offended, do we not? Every day. But we have to forgive. And we have to act as if when Jesus was offended every day, what did he do? He forgave. He didn't care what they did to him. He forgave them. And so we're to have that type of an attitude. Be forgiving. Don't hold a grudge. The last thing I want to talk about tonight, verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we're not going to be delivered into temptation, okay? We're not, well, what we need to pray for is to be delivered from temptation. You know, I know my sin. I don't know your sin. I don't know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. You might struggle with watching too much Wheel of Fortune. I don't know. You might have an addiction to that those things, and you might be convicted about that. And I say that for a reason, because realistically, folks can sit there and watch a Wheel of Fortune 24/7, and what happens? That's taking them away from God's Bible. That was a free one. But we need to pray that God would deliver us from temptation so that we don't fall into that trap to where once that temptation is there, we give into it and we give life to that sin. And so we need to pray to be delivered from those things. These are simple daily things that we need to pray for. And I can give you some other things that's not here in Scripture. We need to pray to have a good attitude. Attitude adjustment. You know, last weekend where Jeff and I were working on my deck at the house, and he was kind of getting irritated. He does that sometimes. And I understand his frustrations because I get frustrated too. I'm his brother, and Chris, he can understand these things. Do we have some anger issues? I don't know what side we get that from, but we get it from somewhere. I don't know from who. But when something doesn't go our way, we kind of get angry. And I was sensing his frustration, and I can't remember what I said, but he just said, "I need an attitude adjustment." I was like, you know what? That's a good thing to pray for, because our attitude can come across in a bad way to people. And so we need to pray for a good attitude. This is funny. Tonight, you know, we put our steps together, and it's not funny, but it is funny. The FedEx guy came to my house, and I drove up, and I saw a package on the door, and I saw there's a sign on the door as well. But I looked at the steps, and they're broken. I was like, what in tarnation's going on here? And so I looked at the note. Note was very obvious. I broke your steps. And I was furious. So I called up FedEx. I told them I was fed up. I wasn't happy with them. But I said to them, I said, you know what? No one got hurt. That's the main thing. So I went out, and I'm kind of OCD in a lot of ways. Like, well, it hasn't been that long since he's been here. I know this town by the back of my hand. I'm going to go hunt him down. So I went and hunted the dude down. And I found a dude, and I said, "Hey, dude, were you at my house?" He says, "What house?" So I told him my address. I'm not telling you my address in case you want to come by and egg it later. So I won't tell you that. But anyway, you folks know where I live. But he said, "Yeah, I was there." He goes, "I'm so sorry about your steps." He goes, I didn't mean to. He goes, I said, "Did you get hurt?" He goes, "No." I go, "That's all I care about." I go, "I just want to make sure you didn't get hurt." You know, I could have came across in a very negative way. And I wanted to. I wanted to let this FedEx dude have it. But the Holy Spirit changed my course, changed my thought process. And I was able to have a better attitude towards him. See, that's something that we need to pray for as well, because our attitude shows us who we are at times. And so here are some daily things that we need to be praying for. So how are we to pray? We're to pray to God. How do we address him? We respect him and give him honor. Then we pray for his will to be done. And then we pray for our daily needs. And that doesn't mean you pray for it Monday and forget about it Tuesday and Wednesday and jump back on it on Thursday. God, Jesus here in chapter 6 says, pray for it daily. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the opportunity to call upon you as our Father, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us his Son so that we can have eternal life. We are so indebted to you, and we thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for your blessings that you bestow upon us daily that goes unnoticed by us. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we leave from here. Be with us throughout the rest of this week. Bring us back safely Sunday, and we ask it in your name. Amen.